We discussed in the last Chazorah Shir on the top of Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph the Gemara's objection to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's Shita is that if there's an overlap between Malkus and Momen, we give Malkus and we don't pay Momen. And what do we do with Chovel B'Chavero, where the din is the opposite, Moshal Vein Aloka? And the Gemara says that what are you going to do with the Lav of Pen Yosef if you're going to tell me that Momon Mishalim Ve'eno Loke? Rabbi Yochanan's principle was that there's no such thing as a Lav that doesn't generate Malkus. And if we take the case of Edim Zomavim, where the Torah says that he pays Momon and he doesn't get Malkus, so what are we going to do with the Lav of Losan of Reachet Shaker? What is it, a Lav that doesn't generate Malkus? But the answer is that in the case of Edim Zomim, there will be Malkus for Losana. In the case of Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, where there's no Kiyum of Kashizama, Lovelo Lazara. And in Chovel Chavera, we could say the following, that there will be Malkus for the violation of Lo Yosef in the case of Hakoshein Boshova Pruta. Now, when we get to Achoso, the Gemara says, the only case that you replace the Malkus with Mamon is the case of a Nara. But if she was a Bogeres and there's no Mamon, so the Mela, you violate the Lav of Achoso and therefore you get Malkus. And at this point, the Gemara goes back to ask the question on Rabbi Yochanan, why doesn't he accept the Gzeres Shava of Ula? Ula came to the conclusion based on the Gzeres Shava of Tachas Tachas, that when there's an overlap, then you pay Mamon and you don't get Malkus. Why does Rabbi Yochanan object to that? And the Gemara got off into a whole analysis of how do we know that in addition to the chiyuv of knas, there's also payment for bosh supagam, and Abai at least derives it from this word tachas, from the phrase tachas asher ina, which means if Rabbi Yochanan accepts the drasha of Abai, he doesn't have the pasuk tachas as mufne for the purpose of the gzeres shavah. Ula, on the other hand, can accept the drasha of Rava from the pasuk of Hashochevi Mahanas Shchiva, from which we derive that there's an additional payment of Boshes Pagam above and beyond the Knas. And that led us to Rabbi Eliezer, and the issue here is, why is it that in Edim Zomimim, according to the Shitas Chachamim of Rabbi Meir, they pay and they don't get Malkus? And Rabbi Eliezer offers his own approach to this question. He says the reason why there's no Malkus is because in Edim Zomim there's no Asra. And the Gemara then jumps into a whole analysis here about why there's no Asra in Edim Zomim. Rava says technically we just can't give them a Hasra. If we give them at the beginning when they first come into Bez, that's too early, and they may have forgotten their Hasra by the time they give their Eidus a little bit later. If on the other hand we give them Hasra right before their Eidus, then Parshi Velo Mishadi, they'll be so psyched out and so frightened by the Hasra, realizing that the Eidus is going to place their life into danger, they're literally making themselves vulnerable through the Seidus to a Chiyuv Misa, the capital punishment, is partial of Messiah. They won't give the Eidus. And if we give them the Hasra after they testified, is Maida Abahava. It's already done. The Eidus is a done deal. They've already testified. What good is it to give Hasra after the Eidus? What will that accomplish? We have a principle called Kevin Shigit Shuvena Chozer Magid. The Achronim, we have a question that I think we touched upon, that since they need Hasra, then as long as the Hasra has not been given yet, the Eidus is not Eidus, because it would be Eidus Shiyati Yochel Azima. So why couldn't there be Chozer by him even after the Eidus? It's not in Lo Yagid, there's no Haggadah yet. In any event, Abaye rejects the approach of Rava, and he feels that you can give Masra Tokhidei Dibur. Now, when Abaye mentions Tokhidei Dibur, which is Kedei Sheila Shalom, the Rishonim assume, and this is in the Rashba, the Ran, and the Muki Yosef, that we're talking about Tokhidei Dibur of the second of the testimony of the second witness, and as long as the second witness has not completed his testimony, then the Edom can still rescind their Edus, and at that moment in time Hasra would be meaningful. Now you might have asked, the Hasra itself will take more than Tokhidei Dibur, and that would be a hefsek between their Eidus and their Chazara. But apparently the Hasra, and the, just like the testimony of the second Eid, is not considered a hefsek. They can still be Chozer Behem Tokhidei Dibur from the Hasra, and that's called Os Kibioso Inyan, or because logically Hasra is necessary for their Eidus. The Rishonim are bothered by the following question: Why do you need Hasra Tokhidei Dibur of Eder Eidus? Since the Hasra is Litzarech Eidus, and until the Hasra has been implemented, their Eidus is not complete yet. So let's give the Hasra even Liachek Kidei Dibur, and that should be a meaningful Hasra. And you know, some of the Rishonim want to suggest that if you're going to wait too long and the Hasra will come after Kidei Dibur, then the Edom can tell that they forgot their Edus. Until now, we're speaking about the Edom forgetting the Hasra because Hasra was too early. Now we're saying the Hasra was too late and they forgot their Edus, going in the opposite direction. So that basically, to summarize Abaye's objection to Rava, there is a possibility of giving a Hasra without psyching out the Edom, and that would be after their Edus, and they could still be Chozer Behem. And therefore Abaye wants to come up with a more fundamental reason why there's no Hasra in Edom, so it's not just the technicality. And before we get to Abaye's reformulation, let's add another question again, an objection against Rav Maskifla, Rav Acha, Breid, Rav Ika, Venisri, Bumei Kara, Unaramis, Bahu, Remuze. So at the time of their Eidus, we'll give them a remez and remind them of the Hasra that they received when they first came into the Bezdin. But in any event, Abaye reformulates his approach to answer the question why Edom Zom don't require Hasra, and he says that if we would require Hasra for Edom Zom, that would be in violation of the principle formulated by the Torah, Vasisim Lo Kasher Zom Lasis Liachiv. What they wanted to do to the Nidon is to give the Nidon that punishment without Hasra. Therefore, they should also be punished without Hasra. The Gemara objects, what about Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, where the punishment is not based on kasha zomim at all? There's no kasha zomim megrusha because lo velo lesaro. So let's require hasra, because the reason why you're knocking off the hasra is because the Torah is imposing a punishment of kasha zoma. But here in the case of ben grusha ben chalutz, there's no kasha zomim. We go back to the violation of lo sana, and therefore there should be a requirement of Hasra. We don't find that there's a requirement of Hasra in the cases of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. And here's where the Gemara invokes the pasuk Mishpat Echad Yelachem, Mishpat Hashava Lekulchem, which in conceptual terms means that the Gemara is telling us that the the Yalfuses regarding Ben Gushim and Chalutzim, Hayim Ben Hakos HaRosh, etc., that they really are Gili Milson to put Ben Gushim and Chalutzim back into the parasha of Edim Zomim. And therefore the rules and regulations that govern Edim Zomim, namely that you don't need Asra, because of Kasher Zomim, will apply to the cases of Ben Gushim and Chalutzim. Now let's just mention that the purpose of Hasra is a twofold purpose. First of all, k'dei la'avchem ben shogig l'meizid. And secondly, we need what's called a mater atzmo l'misa, which means that the criminal, the potential criminal, has to declare that amanas kena niyose. And this is all clear in the Rambam, in Perek Yud-Beis, Mehilchas Sanhedrin. Now, in our sugya, the Tumim, Rabbi Yonasan Iverson, claims that we're talking about a case of Hasra to function as Lahavdin Ben Shogi Amazin. There was never a Havamina Bechalal, says the Tumim, that we would require a Hasra in Edim Zomimim for the purpose of Mater Atzma L'Misa. Because if he's going to claim that he's testifying al menas sheyei hareg, which is mater atzma l'misa, then he's basically testifying about himself that his testimony is false testimony, and that's not testimony at all. That's not edus klal. And if, on the other hand, the edim will claim where our edus is truth, so what's the mater atzma l'misa? The mater atzma l'misa, if you motze shu sheker, that's not called mater atzma l'misa. And here's the lashon of the Tumim: afilu im omar lamasrim yodeani. If the edel say yodeani, eino nechshev hasra ad shomar al menas ken. So how would the hasra for the edel be effective if they weren't mater atzma l'misa? Because they're claiming that they're testifying truth. Now this is a pilpul in the Achronim. Now keep in mind that the Gemara back on Daf Lamed Beis had stated that the reason why Chovah B'Chaver pays, it doesn't get Malkus going to Rabbi Yochanan, because of Beferish Rupes of Torah Chovel B'Chaver L'Tashlum. And that leads us up to Rav Shisha. Rav Shisha b'rei de Rav Idi Omar, Chovil b'chaver nami, Mamona mishal milka lo loki b'hocha. Rav Shisha is going to offer another explanation which would protect Rav Yochanan. You remember the Rav Yochanan Shita is a little bit vulnerable because of the case of Chovil. Since Rabbi Yochanan, as a general rule, will say you get Malkus instead of Mammon, Chovel is the exception to the rule. We're trying to find a justification for Chovel being the exception to the rule. That's what Rav Shisha is going to offer us. That in this case of Chovel, Mamona Mishalim Mamilka Lo Lachi Mehocha. And he's going to analyze a pasuk of Parshas, in Parshas Mishpatim, which is the pasuk that we've been dealing with time and time and again with regard to Kim Levi the Rav Amine. The pasuk says, V'chi yinotzu anashim v'nokfu isha harav yotzu yiladeha. They're fighting a brawl, yinotzu. And the question is, what kind of a brawl is it? Are they just sort of punching each other, or they're really endangering each other's life? They're out for real shpichas damim. Om Rabbi Elazar b'matzus shebemisa hakosu medaber. As we're talking about a case where the kavana, the intention of someone who hits someone else, is to kill him. And I'll prove it to you. He says, the pasuk says immediately afterwards, v'yemason yiyet, that he took such a swipe at him, you know, he wound up his arm and he hit him so hard, and he missed him and he hit the Isha. and the possibility exists that she will die. So we're talking about a case of someone who really has intention for murder. And the Torah says, "V'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh," which means that we can kill the person who was guilty of murder. And the chiddush here of the Torah is that even though he didn't have kavana to kill the isha, right, his kavana was to kill his friend, so to speak. I wouldn't call it his friend, but his enemy. But the Torah wants to tell us that miskavi lara gezeva other madrach echad misa. As long as he has kavana lahariga, then he'll be condemned to death as a murderer. Now the assumption, as the Gemara is going to clarify, is that he must have had a hasra. Otherwise, how could the Torah have said v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, that if he kills this woman, he's going to be put to death? Now again, the hasra itself was a hasra for misa. It wasn't a hasra for malchus, but we'll see that there's a principle called musul davar chamur having musul davar kal. So let's assume for the time being that if the hasra was for misa, that's going to include within it hasra for malchus. But first let's prove that there was hasra. Hechidavi idlo asu be'amai miktal. If the Torah says v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, it must be that there was hasra. El pshita di asru be. Otherwise, how could it be chayv misa? Now the Gemara wants to make another step, take another jump, and say that this hasra that he had for misa is also an effective hasra for malchus. Why? Because musra l'davar chamur, having musra l'davar akal. If I'm telling you you're going to be put to death, it goes without saying that you're going to get malchus, which is a lesser punishment. So when they gave him hasra that if she dies, then he will be killed, which is called an onesh chamur, then included in the hasra is hasra that if she won't die, then he'll receive malchus, because again, malchus relative to misa is obviously an onesh kal. Well, maybe it's not so obvious, that's going to be the sugi of Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, but if we assume it's malchus is relative to misa is an onesh kal, and therefore musul davar chamur, nechshav musul davar kal, then for sure he has a hasra for malchus. And yet, what is going to be the punishment in this case if she doesn't die? If she dies, then we're going to put him to death as a murderer. He had a hasra for misa. But let's say she doesn't die. So at this point, if musra l'davar chamur is musra l'davar kal, we should be able to give him malchus for violating the law of Lo Yosef. And yet, despite that, mikol makom, nevertheless, the Amar Rachman of Loyason Anoshia Nesh, and the Anoshia Nesh here means that he pays Dmei Vlados to the owner of these Vlados, right? The husband and this wife. So that here we have a situation where, despite the fact that he got an order, he had Asra for Malchus, again because Musul Dabar Chamur, and yet we're not going to meet out Malchus, but rather we're going to make him pay. And that's what the Torah means when it says Anoshi Anesh, meaning, as the Torah spells out a little bit later on in the pasuk, it says he has to pay the Dmei Vlados. So here we have a clear-cut indication that even though a person had Asra for Malchus, and if he should get Malchus, he doesn't pay Malchus, but rather it says Kasher Yoshes Ol Balo Isha V'Nasan Beplilim, in other words, he has to pay for the Dmei Vlados, and he doesn't get Malchus. So this could be a beautiful defense for Rabbi Yochanan, that Chovel is the exception to the rule, and that's going to be derived from the Psukim themselves. However, the rule itself is going to be that he gets Malchus and he doesn't pay money. Maskiflor of Ashi, how do you know Musul Dover Chomravi, Musul Dover Kal, Dilma Lohavi? This Gemara really needs a lot of analysis in the context of what exactly is the purpose of Hasra. I mean, if the purpose of Hasra is to notify, to appraise the criminal, the potential criminal, that he's going to get punished, then l'chora the Gemara's logic is very compelling that musul davar chomer mi musul davar kal. But there may be other ways of analyzing hasra. For example, another purpose of hasra, and Tosus points this out in the bottom Tosus on the page, is what's called matir atzmo lemisa. And if you need matir atzmo lemisa, then you might need matir atzmo lemalkus. That's more of what I call exeris akos. I mean, it's a technical legal requirement. So the Gemara says that this Rav Shisha that we've been understanding is based on a certain predicate which is questionable in and of itself, namely that Musul Dover Chamravi Musul Dover Kal. But the Gemara doesn't stop there. The Gemara says, Imtim Tsaloma Havi, even if I grant you this premise that the Asrafa Misa includes Asrafa Malkus, but now let's ask the question, which is more chomer, Misa or Malkus? You know, sometimes instant death might be more, might be easier than extended, prolonged torture. We might do Misa Chamura. And here we're going to turn to Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. Dilma Malkus Chomer. Now, where would you come to that conclusion? The Gemara wants to support that possibility that Malkus is more chomer than Misa. It's very counterintuitive. Position. Rav made the following statement: Il mole nigdua. Nigdua is the Aramaic for torture or physical corporeal punishment. So, if not for the fact that they physically punished, or had they, let's say it that way, had they punished Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah in a torturous way, then polchu l'tzalma. This is back to the time of Nebuchadnezzar when he put up a tselem. Again, this tselem, which we normally translate as an idol, in this context, as we'll soon see, is not really an idol. It's more of a monument. But in any event, when there was a command to bow down to this idol, to this monument, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were willing to refuse the order, disobey and be thrust into a Misa situation, which their lives were in danger, if not for a special miracle that took place, a supernatural intervention on the part of the divine being. But the Gemara is now claiming that there was no threat of torture. Had there been a threat of torture, then even the greats of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, of course, emphasizing Azariah, of course, they would have kowtowed. They would have buckled under, and they would have bowed to this zealot. So you see clearly that suffering and torture is even more severe than the onish of Misa. Omer Rav Sama, Breder Rav Rasi, Rav Ashi, Yamalei Rav Sama, Breder Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi, V'chilo Shani Lecha Ben Hakosha, Yesh Ba Kitzva, Hakosha, Ein Ba Kitzva. You're right, torture is intolerable. A person is going to buckle under. But we're talking about 39 Malkus. That's a Dover Sheish Lo Kitzva. We know exactly how many lashes are going to be meted out to him. He's going to get 39 flagellations. So he's going to be able to push himself and survive it. It's psychologically, it's something that you can tolerate, as opposed to what we call yisurim or torture, or call it nigdua, or hakoshein bakitzva. All the above are, you know, you can't tolerate. So at this point, the Gemara is still maintaining the position of Rav Shisha that perhaps we could accept, number one, that the onish of Misa is more chomer than the onish of Malkus, and number two, that Hasra l'davra chomer is ipso facto Hasra l'davra kal. But now the Gemara has another objection. And now the Gemara is basically going to argue that Rav Shisha could work out according to the Chachamim, but not according to Rebbe. And Rebbe has a whole different interpretation of this parasha, and especially of the pasuk nefesh tachas nefesh. So maskif lo Rav Yaakov minar parod ha nicha, we can understand and accept Rav Shisha's logic l'rabbanon. because the way the Rabbanan understand the pasuk v'nosata nefesh tachas nefesh, it means nefesh mamash. That if the woman dies as a result of the blow, then we put this person to death as a murderer. And then we can understand Rav Shisha that this would prove, this whole parasha would prove that in the case of Chovel, if she didn't die, then it would be Mishalim v'eino loka. Why? Because there is Asra, and yet the Torah says that he pays the Mevlados. But El Rebbe, but Rebbe has a whole different take on Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. And he claims that the intention of this pasuk, this parasha, is for Achiv Mama. Now let's understand what motivates, what compels Rebbe to take a very counterintuitive position. That nefesh tachas nefesh does not mean mamish, it shouldn't be taken literally, but it should be referring to mamon. And the answer is because Rebbe has another problem over here. Even in the event that she dies, there's no justification for putting him to death as a murderer. Why? Because he did not have kavanah to kill her. And this comes under the gigantic sugya of Masechta Sanhedrin called Niskavin Larog et Zev, Horeg et Zev. So he ended up killing the wrong person, not the person he intended to kill. And that's a technical exemption from Misa, from a capital punishment, according to Rebbe Shita. Again, not we're just quoting Rebbe here, but it's Rebbe elsewhere in Shas. And therefore, Rebbe is hard-pressed to understand the pasuk literally, nefesh tachas nefesh, that we're going to kill the person who dealt this death blow to the woman when he didn't intend at all to hit this woman. So what are we going to do with this pasuk, nefesh tachas nefesh? So this becomes the Torah Shebal Peh of Mamon, if you remember. Many times the Torah says, Zeh tachas zeh, and we interpret it to be Mamon. Like, for example, Ayin tachas Ayin. We say, not that we're going to take it literally, we take out his eye, the eye of the Chovel, but rather we make him pay the Dmei Chavol. And here in the case of Misa, he, the one who dealt this death blow to the woman, without any intention of killing her per se, he'll have to pay what's called the Dmei Isha. Again, she's gone, so she's not going to collect this, but he pays it to her heirs. If that be the case, then there's no Havamina here in this parsha to talk about the possibility even of putting him to death, because even in the worst case scenario she died, we would not be putting him into death. No, if there's no death penalty indicated in this parsha, there's no possibility of a death penalty, then the whole parsha is talking about a case where there's no Asra. Now Rav Shisha derived from, you know, he wanted to derive the conclusion of Mamon, then in Chavola, Mamon Mishalim Vil Milkalo Loki, from the fact that there was a Hasra, and nevertheless we're not giving him Malkus, but rather we're giving him Mamon. So you see that Mamon Mishalim Milkalo Loki, but according to Rebbe, the whole Pasha is talking about a case where there was no Hasra. Is Michael Meir, there's no way that you can derive from this Pasha that Chovel B'Chavero, if he got a Hasra for Malkus, he pays and he doesn't get Malkus, because we're not talking about a Hasra case. The whole thrust of our sugya is about a case where there was Asra of a Chovel. He's violating the law of Pen Yosef, and if he goes ahead and despite the Asra, he violates that law and he hits someone and injures that person, then he should get Malkus for violating Baltosif. But the Torah says, no, you don't get Malkus in this case, you pay Mama. And the Torah is giving us, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the exception to the rule of Milka Loki Umamona Lo Mishal. But where does it say in this parasha that there is such an exception to the rule? This parasha is not talking about a Havamin of Malkus, just like there's no Havamin of Misa. Again, according to Rebbe, the reason why there's no Havamin of Misa is because this Kavin Larag Odova Echad the Harag Odom Acher is Potur. But nevertheless, the bottom line is, according to Rebbe, that there's no Asra here. And the whole premise of Rav Shisha's derivation is that there was Asra here. And then he adds the other premise of Musul Dover Chomor Abin Musul Dover Kah. Elo, so now the Gemara is going to quote, Rav Yaakov is going to offer another alternative to how we know that in Chovel B'Chavero, there's an exception to the rule of Loke V'Yeno Mishalim, and instead it's Mishalim V'Yeno Loke. Amar Rav Yaakov Minar Pekot Mishvei Derov Mihoch. Now this pasuk that we're about to learn is in the same perek of our ason yeh, meaning the pasuk of Kim Lev the Rabbi. It's in Shmos Chaf Aleph, but this is earlier in the parasha, and this is the series, a unit of psukim that addresses Chovil b'chavero, not a case where the Nechbal died. And the Torah says, if I'm going to read the whole spiel here, it says, "V'chi rivun anashim, v'ika ish esreyu be'evan o be'egrov, v'lo yamus, v'nafal mishkov." So we're talking about classic chovel b'chavero. There's no death here at all. And the Torah says, "Im yakuv v'salech b'chutz al mishanto v'nika makeh." Why is it that there is no way we can punish the makeh and put him to death for murder? The answer is because the Nechbal, the victim of his blow, walked around on his feet for 3 days. That proves that if subsequently he dies, he didn't die because of the injury, the direct blow that he received, the impact of the blow. The Nika HaMakeh means that he doesn't get Misa because he was Kam vis alich b'chutz al mishanto. In other words, he, so to speak, returned to his physical powers. So Rav Yaakov analyzes the following. When the Torah says v'nika amake, it must be a chidush over him, meaning there must have been a havamina that perhaps we would have given him death. So what does it mean? V'chital al datcha shezem ahalch b'shuk. The scenario is that Reuven dealt a blow to Shimon. Shimon is walking on his feet. V'zen erig, and Reuven should be put to death. Why did the Torah have to go out of its way to say v'nika makeh ella? But rather, what's the chiddush of the Torah? Melamed, the Torah wants to teach you that if Reuven dealt a blow to Shimon and Shimon didn't die, but rather he fell sick in a hospital bed, Shechov shenoso, in such a case, we're not going to allow Reuven, who dealt this blow to Shimon, to walk freely in the marketplaces, but rather we're going to incarcerate him, and we're going to wait and see what, as time passes, what is going to be his ultimate destiny, his ultimate punishment. Emis, if the muke, right, that's the person who was dealt this blow, the victim of the blow, dies. Katlinanle, now we have this Reuven who's incarcerated. We're going to take him out of the jail in order to put him to death. V'lo mis. But if, on the other hand, Shimon, the victim of this blow, does not die, but rather he gets up on his feet and he walks around, then the Torah is saying, v'nika makeh. He's free from the punishment of death. Okay, he's free from the punishment of death, but what about all the other injuries and losses that were suffered by the victim? So the Torah goes on and says, "Rakshivto yitein v'rapu yirape." But he has to pay damages. So he pays sheves for unemployment, he pays refuah for medical expenses. So once again, the very fact that we're locking him up in a prison, anticipating all possible scenarios, even the possibility that he would be put to death if the victim dies, then it must be that there was asra. Heichidami, idalo asri be. If there was no asra, my miktal. Why are you telling me that if the victim in fact dies, we're going to put the makeh to death? El pshita the isru be. There must have been asra. Now the Gemara is going to add the same principle of Rav Shisha that we saw earlier. Musra davar chomer abi musra l'davar kal. And nevertheless, Amar Achmona shivto yitein v'rapi rapa. So he had asra for Malkus, because that's inherent, included in the hasra for Misa. And yet the Torah says that he pays mama, and he doesn't get Malkus. So even though he had asra, and he should asra for violating the law of Ben Yosef, and he deserves to get Malkus, the Torah says, no, replace that Malkus with Mammon. And once again, this is a great defense for Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that as a general rule, Milka Laki Mammon Lo Mashan. Here's the exception. Chamol is the exception. So if we would have stopped the sugya here, I think we would all have applauded the Gemara. I mean, this
principle of Rav Yaakov, Minar Pekod. I mean, I just want to take a trip to Nar Pekod and meet this Rav Yaakov, give me Yashikara. But yet the Gemara is objecting. Maskif lo Rav Ashi. Vimaydim musri davar chomor, avim musri davar kal. And now we're going to go through the whole story of Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. And again, to prove that there was no Asrof for Malkus in this case, because even if he got Asrof for Misa, that doesn't include Asrof for Malkus, because Malkus is more chomor than Misa. Dilma Lohavi, maybe perhaps the Hasrof for Dover Chomer is not Asrof for Dover Kal. V'afilim Timtza Lomar Havi, even if I'll grant you this premise that Asra for Dover Chomer includes Asra for Dover Kal, Mimai, Demisa, Hamura, Dilma, Malkus Chomer. I'm going to read this through very quickly because this is a repeat of what we did. The Yomar Rav, Yomoli, Nagdua, Lechananya, Mishal, Vazar, Pochul, Tzalma. Omole, Rav Sama, Braid, Rav Asi, Rav Ashi, Amile, Rav Sama, Braid, Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi, Veloshonilach, Bein HaKosh, Sheish Ba Kitzvah, Sheish La Kitzvah, HaKosh, Ein La Kitzvah. So at this point, the Gemara is going to grant two possible premises. Not that the Gemara is rescinding its position, we don't know for sure, but on the other hand, it could possibly be that number one, a Hasrofer Dover Chomer is Hasrofer Dover Kal. Number two, that Misa is more Chomer than Malkus. Why? Because Misa is death, and Malkus, in the case of a Dover Sheish Lo Kitzvah, that psychologically he knows he's getting 39 Malkus ceiling, no more than he can tolerate that psychologically.
I don't remember why the Gemara simply repeats this argument of Rav Ashi, because it knocks it down with the exact same argument before.
I guess the Gemara could have said v'chule, you know, ditto, and that would have been it. But the Gemara wants to show you that once again, you know, you're talking about the parasha of ki notzu shnei anoshim, and also now we're talking about the parasha that comes before that, which is the parasha of v'chi rivun anoshim.
Do we ever get a result? I mean, this doesn't really conclude whether the Asra for...
Right. The Gemara leaves that as an open-ended question. And also the Gemara leaves as an open-ended question, which is more Chomer, Misa, Malkus. The Gemara now provides a logic that even though Hananya ben Mishael and Azariah would have capitulated, would have buckled under the threat of torture, but nevertheless, that's called the HaKosh HaEmba Kitzvah. But maybe in the case of Malkus, you know, psychologically you could tolerate it, and therefore Misa is certainly more chomer than Malkus. But again, the Gemara doesn't pin it down. You know, there's no, we don't knock the peg into the hole here. But Maskif Lo Rav Mari raises a whole new objection to Rav Yaakov. This is a whole new curveball. And he says, Mimai, how do we know that this pasuk, let's read the pasuk again, it says, Vika ish esrei eilu, divimezit. And therefore, when the pasuk says, Vinika, it means that if the victim doesn't die, then despite the fact that the makeh had deliberately tried to kill him, the word Vinika, makeh, means, Miktola, we don't put him to death. Maybe there's a whole other way of interpreting this parasha. So suggests Rav Mari. Dilma, perhaps Bishogeg. We're talking about a case where there's no Hasra. Now, if you're talking about a case where there's no Hasra, the Torah doesn't have to tell me that for Shogeg we don't put him to death, Vinika Amaka. No, the answer is Vinika Amaka is not Miktola, but rather Vinika Amaka Migolos. The question is whether or not we should take a person who unintentionally killed someone and send them into Malkus and send them into Golus. And that's really a whole parasha of Golus, of Ari Miklat and Rotzeach B'Shogeg. So now what we're going to do is we have to figure out whether the blow that we'll call Reuven dealt to Shimon killed Shimon. If it did kill Shimon, even if it was unintentional, well, we got to get this Reuven over to the Ari Miklat. That's going to be his punishment. So the Torah is saying the following. that we should take this Rotzeach. Again, when I say Rotzeach, keep in mind there are two qualifications here. We're not sure if he's a Rotzeach yet because we don't know what the ultimate destiny of the of Shimon who received this blow is. Number two, when we call him a Rotzeach, keep in mind we're not talking about a classic absolute Rotzeach. We're talking about a Rotzeach b'shogeg vis-a-vis the chiyuv of Golos. So the Torah is saying, let's take Reuven, who's the potential Rotzeach, lock him up in a jail, and see what happens to Shimon to receive this blow. And if Shimon survives, then Reuven is a free man, v'nika migolus, he doesn't have to go into Golos. And the chiddush here of the Torah is that we're going to tie up someone and lock him up in a jail until we know whether or not he's chayav Golos. And it's one thing to say we tie up a person and lock him up, incarcerate him, because we want to know if he's chayav misa. But now we have even a bigger chiddush that the Torah recognizes jailing a person for the sake of perhaps sending him into Golos. So the Torah is basically saying the following: Im Yaakov yishalich b'chutz, if Shimon will be able to walk on 2 feet, then v'nika makami Golos. But in such a case where there was no asra, so what happens over here? Reuven was a shogeg. He caused Shimon a tremendous amount of damage, meaning chavola. There's no possibility of forcing Reuven to run into an ir mikla because Baruch Hashem Shimon survived it. We locked up Reuven. Now we're going to free him. But what about all the suffering that Shimon experienced and all the losses he incurred as a result of this hakah? So that's where the Torah says, "Brak shivto yitein v'rapi rapa." What would be if there would have been asra, and if the muker that Shimon did not die, then Afinami Reuven the muker would get malchus. Now, absolutely, Yilka malchus, right? Yeah, we get malchus, meaning that he wouldn't pay damages. So again, how do you know that Chovel B'Chavero, in a case where there was a Hasra, would pay and not get Malchus? Maybe on the contrary, he would get Malchus and he wouldn't pay. Either the Torah says that he pays, because the Torah is talking about a case where there was no Hasra. Hence, we're talking about a case of Shogeg. If there was no Hasra and it's a Shogeg, then there are two possibilities that might develop. One development could be that Shimon will die and then we'll take Reuven out of jail and send him to the Ir Mikla. The other possibility is that Shimon will survive and he's suffering tremendous losses in damages, and we're going to make Reuven pay for those losses. You'll ask me, but why not give him Malchus? The answer is we're talking about a Shogeg case, so there's no possibility of Malchus, there was no Asra. Ain't of Hinami, would it be that there would be Asra? Go figure out what the Torah would say. It's very possible the Torah would say in such a case that he gets Malchus and he doesn't pay Mamon, which would again project the view of Rabbi Yochanan. And Ula, on the other hand, would say, no, on the contrary, let him pay for damages and exempt him from Malchus. But to say that this is Rav Mari's objection to Rav Yaakov Minar Kod, that we have a clear-cut proof over here that even if there was Asra for Malchus, you would pay Mamon and not get Malchus in the case of Chovel B'Chavero, Kasha, that's not so. There's no proof whatsoever. Now, I just want to point out, just on an emotional level, that Reb Mari is really completely changing, revolutionizing our understanding of this parasha. I mean, never did it dawn upon. I mean, Rebbe was the first revolution, because Rebbe said that we're talking that there's no way we can put him to death, and the whole discussion here is about Mama. Rav Mari is not willing to go that far, but he does have a pretty radical approach to this parasha, and he's saying that what we're talking about is a shogeg situation, and we're locking him up in order to figure out whether he's chayav golus, and in the event that he's not chayav golus, he has to pay damages. Again, it was never asra, because we're talking about a shogeg case. What would have been in a case of Asra? Go figure it out. Rabbi Yochanan would go to Shitas, and he would say, in such a case, he had Malchus. And Ula would say, that in such a case, you pay Mom.
If the Pasuk talks about hitting the with a stone, or, right, but, I mean, that's one of the options mentioned in the Pasuk. How could that be Bashokan? I mean, that's...
Yeah, I think the Gemara is talking about a case where what happened was he was climbing up like a wall, and he stepped on a stone, and he, you know, the weight of his pressing on the stone pushed the stone down, and it hit somebody underneath.
That's
a classic case of Rotzeach b'shogeg.
This is citing the pasuk, and I have
Kafalef, yeah, the second.
Okay, because here it did the translation.
So Rav Ossi, while you're looking up that pasuk, I'm just going to prepare myself for the next sugi. So I'm going to be silent for a minute because this is a new change in the direction of the sugi.
It does mention by one.
Okay. Now I'm ready for that.
Yeah. But they're fighting.
So Gosai, if you don't mind, only because we're extremely pressed for time, I was hoping that by tomorrow we'll get up to Daf Lamed Hey, at least, because that's the bulk of the parak. I'm not sure if we'll make it. Anyway, so let's go back now to the drawing board. And this is going to take us all the way back to Daf Lamed Beis. We had a stira between our Mishnah that says that Baal HaChosu pays Knas, and the Mishnah in Makis, which says that Baal HaChosu gets Malkus. And Rabbi Reish Lakish is now going to offer a brand new reconciliation. Hamani, our Mishnah, Rabbi Meirhi, the Amar Loke Umishale. Now this Rabbi Meir is the Rabbi Meir of Masechta Makis, and Rabbi Meir has no problem. Let's say, for example, two Eidim testified against Reuven that he owes Shimon 100. And then they turned out to be Eidim Zomimim. So the Eidim Zomimim will pay 100 under the law of Kasher Zomim. In addition, they'll get Malkus for violating the law of Losan of Reachet Shoket. So that's called Loke U'Mishale. Now let's go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says HaBaal HaChosu Mishalim Knas. But wait a second, Baal HaChosu, the Mishnah says Malkus is Chayav Malkus. How could he be Chayav Knas if he's Chayav Malkus? And the answer is that the author of our Mishnah is none other than Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir holds that you can have an overlap and give out two punishments of both Mammon and Malkus. Again, we have to understand, according to Rabbi Meir, what he does with the Pasuk Kidei Rishasa. Fine. So the Gemara asks the following question: E Rabbi Meir, if our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Meir, Afilu Bito Nami. The Mishnah later on, which is actually printed on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, it's the Sefer of our Mishnah at the beginning of our Perek, says that a Baal Bito Potami Knas because of Kimle Bidurabimine. Now, the Gemara is assuming that in this Kasha, that if Rabbi Meir holds that you can get both Malkus and Mammon, then likewise we should jack it up even one notch further and you should get both Misa and Mammon as well. Which would mean that Rabbi Meir completely rejects the principle that we can't give two punishments. Oh, maybe v'chitema you'll argue Rabbi Meir loke mishalim islay mesa mishalim leslay. Perhaps Rabbi Meir, who's the author of our Mishnah, holds that you can get both Malkus and Mammon, but he admits that you can't get both Misa and Mammon. And Rabbi Meir is going to derive the Misa situation from the parasha of Asonia, which means if she dies, loye anesh. So there's no din of meis u'mishalim, and hence Baal Bito, which is the sefer of our Reisha, of our Mishnah, is Rabbi Meir. Everything fits in well according to Rabbi Meir. Affecting a marvel low, is it really possible to say such a thing that with regard to Misa v'tashlumin low means you don't get both Misa and Tashlumin? I'm going to now quote a brisa, and according to this brisa, Rabbi Meir is committed to the position that even in a case of Misa, you pay Mama. What's the case? The case is where he violates either Shabbos or Avodah Zorah, and at the same time he incurs a chiyuv Mama. And indeed, according to the way the Gemara is going to interpret this brisa, Rabbi Meir is going to say that he gets both Misa and Mama. What's the case? Gana. So he steals a shor, the tavach b'Shabbos, and he slaughters it on Shabbos. So he has now a double chiyuv. Number one, he's chayv misa for tvicha, which is one of the lamed tes melachos on Shabbos. Number two, he's chayv arba v'chamisha as a ganav shetavach. Or, for example, ganav v'tavach alavodas kochavim is another case where the tvicha generates a chiyuv misa because it was for the purpose of avodah zarah. And at the same time, he has to pay Arba of Chamisha because he stole a Sharni Shechter. Here's a third case. Ganav Shar Niskal Utvacho. Okay, now Shor Niskal is what's called Isurei Hanah. So he stole something that's also Hanah and then he shechted it. Is Meshalim Tashlumei Arba V'Chamish. Now this case of Shor Haniskal has l'chor nothing to do with the first two cases because it's not a case of Misa. This is a Chiddush in Tashlumei Arba V'Chamish. Does a Ganav pay Arba V'Chamish on something that's already Osir V'Hanah, which is a Sugya Mirtz Hashem that we'll get up to a little bit later in the parak. But we're going to focus our attention on the first two cases in which Rabbi Meir says that he pays in addition to being put to death. The Chacham Potrim, they say he doesn't have to pay the Arba V'Chamish. But in any event, according to Rabbi Meir, clearly, we're going to punish him with Misa and with Tashlumin, like for example, Tovech V'Shabbos or Tovech L'Avodos Kochavim. And the Chiyuv Misa does not knock off the Chiyuv Tashlumin. So we see that Rabbi Meir is very consistent, just like in the case of Malkus. He says, Loka Umishalim. So too in the case of Misa, he says, Memisa no so Umishalim. So the Gemara says, no. That brisa is not to be understood the way you understood it. Ha'itmar Allah, we have a statement of Rav Yochanan to clarify that brisa. Omer Rav Yaakov, Omer Rav Yochanan, Amilei Omer Rav Yirmi, Omer Rav Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Ovin, Rabbi Lo, V'chol Chavura, Mishmei Rav Yochanan, Amri. So again, there's a whole long question of the transmission here of the Torah, but it definitely comes back to Rav Yochanan. V'toveach al yidei acher. There's no chiyuv misa in this case. Had there been a chiyuv misa, even Rabbi Meir would agree he doesn't pay dal vehei. The reason he pays dal vehei is because he didn't do the tvicha. There'll be shlichus for the tvicha as far as ganav is concerned, and therefore he's going to pay dal vehei. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, we apply the principle of ein shlich l'dvar avera. So let's understand the scenario according to Rabbi Yochanan. Reuven stole a shor, but he himself, Reuven, was not the one who slaughtered the shor. He appointed, he commissioned someone else to slaughter the shor on his behalf. That's called tzivo l'shlucho l'tvoach. So who's going to be chayav misa here? The shliach is going to be chayav misa. That's the principle of ein shliach l'tvar avera. However, as far as the chiv dal v'hev ganav is concerned, there is shlichus. And Rabbi Meir therefore holds that in this case, there's no such thing as kimleb neramine because it's misa for the shliach. And as far as the mishaleach is concerned, who appointed the shliach, meaning the ganav himself, he's going to be chayav tashlumin. But if it would have been an overlap of misa and tashlumin in one person, then Rabbi Meir would certainly agree that kimleb neramine. So the Gemara doesn't understand how could there be shlichus for the knas of Arba V'Chamish V'Chizeh Chote V'Zeh Mischayev. We have a principle of Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avera. Just like you're saying the shlich is chayev misa for violating the Shabbos, then you're basing it on the underlying principle that he cannot serve as a shlich for a criminal act. That's called Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomim. So then let's apply that even as far as the knas of Arba V'Chamish for shechting a stolen animal. So what we're going to need now, says the Gemara, is some sort of a drasha, a yitura dekra, to teach me that there's an exception to the rule of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, that in the case of Tovach U'Mochar, with regard to the Chiyuv of Dal Ve'eva Ganav who shechts it, even if he shechts it through the agency of a Shliach, we suspend the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. Amar Rav, Amar Rachmana, Utvacho o mecharo. Now this pasuk is what's called a hekesh, because tvicha mechira are formulated in one breath. Now mechira by definition requires the partnership of someone else. You can't sell someone until the buyer actually acquires ownership on it. Is ma mechira al yedei acher? The Torah is going to be Mechayev the Ganov to pay Dalet Vehe for selling it, even though the sale required the participation, the partnership of the Lokeach. Is so too, by virtue of this Hekesh, Aft Vicha Al Yedei Acher. Now again, it's a little bit odd here because, and again, if we were going into very great depth in the sugya, this would be a really brain squeezer of a sugya, because mechira is by definition a mochan alokeach, but tvicha is just a maisa tvicha. You know, I don't need anyone's help to implement a tvicha. But nevertheless, the Gemara is assuming that Hekesh works in that way. We have to know more about the mechanics of the Hekesh, that Hekesh has to teach me a new did. And what new did am I deriving here is that in Mechiri, you can't be a lone, you know, lone ranger over here. You have to have the participation of someone else. And that's going to break the rule of Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avera. Because in effect, the Lokech who's buying the stolen goods, he's also a kind of a violent. Again, he may not know about it, then it's not delivered, but in any event, he's also participating to some extent in this Avera. So therefore, we're going to derive by virtue of the second, that Tvicha is Al Yidei Acher. In Shabbos, for example, we don't have any such drasha. And therefore, Shabbos fits into your classic rule of Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avera. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, what Rabbi Meir is saying over here is that we're going to split between the Chiyuv Dalet Vehe and the Chiyuv Misa. The Shliach is going to suffer the Chiyuv Misa, whereas the Mishaleach, by virtue of this drasha of Ma Mechir Al Yidei Acher, Av Tvich Al Yidei Acher, he's going to be Chiyuv Dalet Vehe. But this does not in any way upset the principle of Kimlei Midrabba Mine. Now we have to understand what the Chachamim are saying over, because it says the Chachamim Potrim. Does it mean the Chachamim reject this drasha, this hekesh of Mama Fear, etc.? I don't know. Now the Gemara brings other sources to this din that Tvicha Mechira is an exception to the Ein Shliach, but rather it lends itself to Shlichus. And I think I mentioned in the past that there are other cases that do lend criminal actions that lend themselves to Shlichus. For example, what's called Shlichus Yad V'Pikado, that a Shomer could be considered a Ganav even if someone else does it on his behalf. Or for example, Me'ila, if someone uses Hegdesh and misappropriates it, he can send a Shliach for that. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, according to the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, oh, L'Rabo says HaShliach. Now, the Torah could have said Tvachal Mecha'u Mecharo, and then with a Vav would have been a Vav HaMachalek. And very often we find that exactly is the function of a Vav. Why did the Torah say the word O? O has to be a Ribui, and it's come to be married with the Shliach. Now we have a third possibility. The Bechizki Otano, Tachas. The Pasuk says Chamisha Bokar Yishalim Tachas Ashar V'Arba Son Tachas Aseh. So again, why did the Torah have to add this extra word, tachas, the superfluous tachas, teaches me l'rabo says hashliach. So right now we have three different shitos in the question of how to derive the principle of yesh shliach l'dvar avera and tvicha mechira, but everybody agrees that there is shlichus and tvicha mechira, and the shaleach will pay dal vehe. Maskif lo mar zutra, mi ika midi di iu ovid, Iu lo mechayev, the Ovid Shliach u mechayev. Very strange question. The Gemara says that, and this is the part of the Gemara that we do understand, but the principle that I'm about to formulate, but how he applies it in this case is really strange. The principle is that I cannot send a Shliach for something that I can't do myself. Now, obviously, in the case of Tvicha, he didn't need a shliach. The ganav could have shefted it himself. The chvod of atzma. So how does that principle of iu lo avid is there for shlucha lo avid? He can't send the shliach to do what he himself can. How does it apply in this case of tvicha? He could have easily shefted it himself. But the answer is, had he shefted it, he would not be chayiv dal vehei. Why not? Kimlei the rabbi, because he's chayiv misa, was on Shabbos. So had he shechted it himself, now he didn't do so, but had he shechted it himself, he would not be chayv dal vehei. So now when he sends the shliach, he's going to be chayv dal vehei. How could the shliach generate a chiyuv where the mishaleach, had he done the maisa himself before the vatsma, he would not be chayv that chiyuv? Iu Lavni. So the Gemara answers, your whole underlying premise, which with all due respect is completely fallacious. Lavi shum delo machayev. The reason why had the ganav shefted on Shabbos, he would not pay dalav vehei, is not because he's not chayev dalav vehei. For Elo Mishum Kibla Dirabine. We can't implement that punishment that the hands of Pesach are tied and they cannot make him pay the Dal Vehei. But for sure, the Maisa per se, had he shefted it himself, would have generated a Chiyuv Dal Vehei. There may be all sorts of blockages. You know, maybe there were no Eidim, there was no Asra, you know, all sorts of technicalities. In this case, he happens to be Chayiv Misa. Fine. It happens to have been Shabbos. Had it been a weekday, he would have been Chayiv Dal Vehei. So don't tell me that he himself couldn't have done it. And yet, if we had a lot of time, we'd have to work on our Zutra. You know, what was he thinking? The answer to his question is so obvious. Now he asks another question. So I told you that the Rabbanan did not accept this drasha, or any of the three possible drashas, to set up Shlichus L'dvar Aveira in the case of Tficha Mechira. The Gemara is not happy with that. The Gemara assumes that Chachomim also have all these different possible ribuyim or rabuses to teach us that there is shlichus l'dvar avera. And the Gemara answers, man Chachomim, who are the Chachomim? And here we turn to Daf Lamed Daled. Rabbi Shimoni, the Omer Shchita Shein Ariya, Lav Shein Shmei Shchita. It means that the reason why you don't pay Daled Vehei here, and that's what the Chacham Potrim in Avraisa is not because ain't shlichus l'dvar aveira. No, there could be shlichus. But the problem is that this shchita is called the shchita sheino ru'uya, which means that this shchita does not have the power to be matir the basar b'achila. What kind of shchita would generate a chiyuv dal vehei? Only a shchita which is a shchita ru'uya. Now, this shchita was implemented on Shabbos. And a shchita on Shabbos is called a shchita sheino ruya, which means very, very, you know, this is a kind of paradoxical halacha, but it means that since there's an overlap here of the violation of Shabbos, that undermines the whole power of shchita. The same identical shchita during the week would have been an effective shchita, but on Shabbos it's not effective. And if it's not effective, as far as Hilchos Shchita is concerned, then a shchita is not chal, there's no chal shem shchita, it doesn't register on the halachic Richter scale, and it cannot even generate a chiyuv dal vehei. And that's why the Rabbanan object to imposing a punishment of chiyuv of dal vehei. So Gemara says, ha, tenach, I understand, lavodas kochavim. If he shefts it on Shabbos, or he shefts it for avodas kochavim, at least I understand that there is some sort of a violation of the Isur Shechita, and that would invalidate the Shechita. The Gemara is going to take up the case of Shabbos in a minute. But what about Shor HaNiskal? Oh, so Shor HaNiskal is Osir Bana, and here is a totally different reason, an explanation as to why the Shechita is Eino Ru'uya, doesn't have the status of an effective Shechita. And that's because the Shechita cannot be Mati the Basar, because the Basar is already Osir Bana, and Shechita doesn't have any impact on Shor HaNiskal. So there's a Gemara Din for the shor that it needs skiwa. After the Gemara Din, the animal is also bano. You can't ride it, you can't sell it, you can't benefit from it anyway. You can't even sheft it. But what about shchita b'shabbos? So here we have a gigantic machlokes in the Tanoim about the status of shchita b'shabbos. Right now the Gemara thinks that shchita b'shabbos is a shchita re'uyahi, that had the same exact shchita been implemented during the week, it would be a valid shchita. So too, even on Shabbos, it's a valid shchita. And this is where we're going to have to stop for today. But if you can make a note of it, maybe I have a pencil, I'll write it here in my Gemara as well. Thank you so much. That now the Gemara is going to embark upon a whole discussion about what's called Maisa Shabbos and all the different shchitas. And from now on, like until the end of tomorrow, we're going to be learning Masechta Shabbos. But now we're not learning Masechta Ksuvos. A very complicated and long-winded sugya called Maisa Shabbos. And the question is whether or not Maisa Shabbos is Doraisa, it's the Rabbana, and if it is an Issa Doraisa, it's only on the person who implemented the violation of the Shabbos. Does it make a difference whether he did it b'mezid or b'shogeg? And all this is going to impact on the application of Rav Shimon called Shechita She'ena Re'uya. So thanking everyone and wishing